Okay, so let's get going. Welcome back, everybody. We already began our discussion of Hilchos Muktzah last time. We're going to continue with that conversation this evening. And as I mentioned last time, we were starting in something of an unusual location. We were sort of starting at the end. We were starting by speaking about exceptions to the rule rather than an actual discussion of some of the rules and some of the principles themselves. Now we're going to begin doing that. When we speak about Hilchos Muktzah, one of those complicating factors or dimensions of this realm of halacha is that there are so many different types and so many different categories of muktzah. The truth is there are many different categories and types of muktzah in halacha in general, even as we narrow our conversation to muktzah on Shabbos. When you and I usually, colloquially, use the term muktzah, it typically refers to the kinds of things that we cannot move on Shabbos and on Yontif. That's what we're talking about now. But even so, even within that realm, there are still different items that are muktzah for different purposes. And when it comes to some of those different purposes and some of those different categorizations, the actual halachos end up being different. Our ability and our right to access and to move for different reasons, some of these different objects and some of these different items, is going to depend on the type of muktzah that we're actually dealing with. So we spoke about last time were some basically some blanket principles with respect to being able to move things. Again, when we are moving those items, really not for the sake of the item itself, we're not actually utilizing the muktzah item itself, but more that we have an interest in removing that item. We want the absence of that item. We want to get that item away so that we are given the right and we have license to go about doing so in a manner that is indirect, what we call kila achar yad, backhanded fashion. I actually just saw, interestingly, quote from Igros Moshe, where Rav Moshe Feinstein says he's actually not convinced that literally moving something with the back of your hand is sufficient when it comes to this issue of kila achar yad. So kila achar yad literally means with the back of your hand or a backhanded manner, but the point is that it's really just an expression. What it means is that you're moving it in an odd sort of fashion. We spoke about moving something over with your elbow, kicking it with your foot. When you're trying to get rid of that item, you don't want that item, let's say, on the table. You don't want that item on your bed. So to be able to kick it off and remove it in that fashion, that would be acceptable. Again, when you don't really want the item itself, but rather you want the absence of the item. That's going to rear its head in this halacha as well. So we're going to now discuss is the first category, most important, probably the most important category in the sense that it's the most, it's the one that we bump into most frequently. And it's also, it tends to have the most leniencies. And what we're going to speak about is the category of a kli shemelachto le'iser. Literally, a vessel, an object, a tool, a utensil, whose melacha, whose designation, not just designation, but purpose and what you use it for. It's melacha, it's work, it's labor. Whatever it is that you utilize this kli for, its purpose is really le'iser, is really for some sort of prohibited purpose. And really, when we speak about this category, we're not speaking about something that is absolutely and unequivocally used for Isser, but that really sometimes it's used for Isser and sometimes it's used for Heter. And as a function of that, as a function of that reality, sometimes we may have greater license to move some of these items as opposed to something that is completely earmarked and completely relegated for the purpose of something that is Usser on Shabbos. So let's pick up really so much of what we really need to discuss is contained within, really isolated within just about one se'if of Shulchan Aruch. We'll see the Shulchan Aruch. We'll see some of the quotes from the Mishnah Brura there. And we'll have some further discussion as we do. As always, please feel free to jump in and ask whatever questions you may have. This is meant to be a practical halacha shiur. So if there is something that you have in mind and something that you know that you encounter over the course of Shabbos and it's been bothering you, please, now's the time to share. So meanwhile, let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. So this is in Aruch Chaim, of course, Shin Ches Se'if Gimel. And the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Let's blow this up just a little bit. Maybe a little too much. Here we go. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Kli shemalachto le'iser. We're up at the top here. Again, a kli shemalachto le'iser is what we just described. It is something whose typical purpose, whose typical usage is for iser, is something that's prohibited. So mutter le'taltalo, it is permissible to move that item in certain circumstances. We'll get to them. We have an interjection here that really is referring to a different scenario. But ve'im nishtamish le'iser b'bein hashmashos. If this object was already used for some other prohibited purpose, it's already engaged in a prohibited purpose. Could go ner shehudlak. It's like, let's say you have a candle that was lit on top of this item. So you have this item is now in that scenario, in that instance, is really. It's really out of bounds at this point, meaning even entering into Shabbos, what the Shulchan Aruch is discussing here is the notion of serving as a platform or serving as a base to something that is itself aser, and that actually kind of ramps up the prohibited status of this item in question. Never mind that for now. Let's continue to have a conversation, and the Shulchan Aruch even quotes, Ayin L Simin Resh Ayin Tes, see earlier, where that's discussed. So that really is a tangential conversation. Let's speak about the actual meat and potatoes of this particular sugya here. What happens when you just have a regular kli? It was sitting in a drawer. Nothing else was on top of it. It was sitting in a drawer. It was sitting where it's supposed to be. And now you want to go about utilizing it for some other purpose. So he says it is mutter to move it. It's mutter to use it. For what purpose? He gives two possibilities. Bein letzorech gufo. One possibility would be if you need the object itself. Now you might say, well, how could you possibly use this object itself? This object itself is going to be used for some purpose that's aser on Shabbos. So remember, not necessarily. That really what we're dealing with is that which is a kli shemalachta, really le'iser ulaheter almost. That it has some feasible purpose, some feasible usage for that which is actually mutter on Shabbos. The question is, can I employ this item that usually is used for Isser if I now even want to use it for something that's mutter? And the answer is that yes, you can. If you are going to be using it for something, using the object itself, if I have a need for litzorech gufo, if I have a need for the item itself, for its very this very item, it would be mutter to move it, it would be mutter to pick it up and to use it for that mutter designation, for that mutter purpose. Kagon, so he gives an example. Kurnas shel zahavin, a hammer used by a goldsmith, o nefachim, or used by a blacksmith. Why would you pick it up? Why would you use it? I think maybe I even mentioned this last time. This is like the classic example. This is what, you know, I always learned in however many times over in elementary school and in middle school. So the classic example is that you use a hammer. Ordinarily, the hammer is usser. Typically, the hammer, especially the hammer used by a goldsmith or a blacksmith, is clearly set aside to be able to be used for the malacha that they're doing, which is absolute malacha. It is it's makom bepatish. It is it's completing a vessel. It's completing the it's bona maybe any number of things, but most of them are all malachos. Why do you pick it up? You want to pick it up. Liftsobo goes in. You want to pick it up in order to crack, you bought walnuts in the shell, you bought almonds in the shell, and you want to crack open the shells with the hammer. You can't find your nutcracker. By the way, that'll be important. You can't find your nutcracker. You don't know where it is. So then you want to go about using this hammer. It's true that the hammer usually is earmarked for bona, for building, for makom bepatish, for perfecting a vessel, completing a vessel. All malachos on Shabbos. It's true. Ordinarily, that's the case. But in this instance, I want to pick it up for something that's mutter. That is acceptable. It's mutter to do so. What about kurdom? What about an axe? Lachtoch bo devela, in order to cut through dried figs. Again, acceptable. Ordinarily, use your axe to chop wood, which is really problematic on Shabbos. In this instance, I want to use it to, cut a head of lettuce up with an axe. It might be overkill. It might be overkill, but nevertheless, it's still strictly speaking acceptable.
We had a deal.
Bain, Litzarach Makoma, whether. So that was example number one. Example number one is that you want it, Litzarach Kufa. Is that you want it for the object itself. The other possibility is that you want it, Litzarach Makoma. You want it for the sake of the place that it's actually located in, meaning the Hainu. Shitzarach Lishtamish B'makom Shahakli Munach Sham. You want to make use of the place where the Kli is. I don't care about the Kli. I couldn't care less about cracking walnuts open with the hammer. The problem is that the hammer is sitting on the dining room table. Who left the hammer on the dining room table? I left the hammer on the dining room table. I remember before Shabbos, we were hanging up pictures, and I was using the hammer, and then I forgot to put the hammer away, and I left the hammer right at my own seat. right where I'm planning on the actual chair or right on the table where we need to put the challah board down. So a location that we actually need to use. Again, in that instance, it would be mutter to move it because you need the spot. So condensing this all down, this is the heter that is usually referred to, just so you're familiar with the terminology, of tzorech gufo umakomo. Tzorech gufo umakomo, you need it itself, the guf of the kli itself, or you need makomo, you need its space. You need the space in which it resides. In this instance, you can move it. Why? Because this is a lower grade mukta. Certain categorizations of mukta, this wouldn't apply to. It wouldn't be mutter for me to move something. We'll see this in the Mishnah Berurah. It wouldn't necessarily be mutter for me to move anything that I feel like. But when it comes to this issue of kli shemalach tola iser, this item that typically, usually is used for something usser, but could potentially be used for something mutter, I could use the hammer for something mutter. I could use the hammer to crack open a walnut or a coconut or, a stubborn jar of pickles or whatever on Shabbos. I could do so. I wouldn't maybe normally, but I could do so. And I wouldn't really have any compunction in doing so because it's not as though the hammer is especially valuable or this is going to ruin the hammer in any way. It's just that typically when I think of a hammer, I think about, nailing things into the wall and doing construction and fixing things, all of which is actual malacha. Still, in this case, letzorech gufo umakomo, for the purpose of using the hammer itself or using the space, using the place that the hammer is presently occupying, I can move the hammer for those purposes. Umutr lo li tol misham, and it's mutter for him to move it from there. Ulahanicho be'eza makom she'irtza, and he can drop it wherever he wants. It's also an interesting thing. We don't say that, listen, you want to get the hammer off the dining room table, that's fine. Pick it up. The moment you are no longer flying through the airspace of the dining room table, once you're in friendly, international airspace right over the dining room floor, drop it. You got to drop it splat on the dining room floor because now it's not in your way anymore. We don't say that. Once it's been picked up for a purpose that's mutter, we don't say that you want to pick it up in order to crack the coconut open, fine, by all means. The moment the coconut juice, spills out into the bowl, drop the hammer wherever it is. We don't say that. It's mutter to then put it down wherever you may feel like. Aval, however, mechama letzel, let's say I want to move the kli out of the sun. Let's say I want to move the kli out of the sun. And that's one example, but meaning to say, the hainu she'enu tzarech letaltalo, it's not that I need to move it. El mipnei she'yarei, he's just concerned, he's afraid, she'yishaver, that it's going to break. O yignov, or that it's going to be stolen. Sham aser, there it's aser. That's not an acceptable reason. It's not an acceptable purpose. You can't move the item for the item itself, for the protection, for the preservation of the item itself, being that this item, typically speaking, we assume is really an item that's usher to be used on Shabbos. So if you want to pick it up for a purpose that's mutter itself, or that I want to pick it up because I need this space, but say I don't need this space. Let's say I have, a good, fountain pen, $10 pen sitting, I was doing some work on Erev Shabbos and it's out on the table on the deck. And Shabbos afternoon, it starts to rain, and I don't want the pen to get ruined. So can I bring the pen in, because otherwise it might get ruined? No, I don't need the space. I don't need the space, and I don't need the pen. It's not that I'm doing something mutter with the pen. That would be usher. I'm not permitted to move the pen in that instance. Unfortunately, in that case, you just have to take the loss. Okay, let's see the Ramah. The Haggah in gray here is are the words of the Ramah of Rav Moshe Isserles. These are the Ashkenazic glosses here. So let's take a look. Kol muktza eno aser ela bitiltulo. When we speak about muktza being aser, first of all, again, I just want to reiterate what we already mentioned last time. Sometimes the term muktza tends to get thrown around an awful lot. Again, my kids ask me all the time, is it muktza? What somebody just asked me. Is it mukta to do a puzzle on Shabbos? Is it mukta to ride a scooter on Shabbos? It's mukta refers to the items themselves and the status of the items themselves. Mukta really means set aside. Certain objects can be mukta, they can be set aside so that I'm not allowed to move them on Shabbos. Otherwise, we're speaking about malacha. We're speaking about other forms of iser, prohibition, actual labor, actual work, maybe uvdin dechol, other kinds of things. It's weekday. It's something that some behavior that has the trappings of weekday type of behavior. Those kinds of things. Mukta, strictly speaking, just refers to the status of particular objects. So at any rate, the Ramah says as follows: Kol mukta, whenever we speak about the status of the objects being reserved, not being used on Shabbos, eino asur ela b'tiltulo. What we mean is that you're not allowed to move it. Aval benegia ba'alma, but just to touch it, she'eno minadnado, that you're not going to move it at all. Shari, then it's mutter. It's permissible. V'lachena, therefore, mutter liga b'minora, shebebeis hakneses. It's mutter to touch. It's mutter to touch, let's say, a large menorah in the beis hakneses, or some sort of like light fixture. You can't move the actual light on Shabbos, but it would be mutter to touch that item because it's not really moving. Sheneros dokol salav, even though there might be candles on it, but it's a big, heavy object, and even if I touch it, it's not really going to move, so not a problem. O betanur, or let's say an oven, shedolik bo'esh, it's true that there might even be fire in it right now. Nevertheless, I can lean on my oven, like I can lean on a car on Shabbos, because it's not going to move. V'chein mutter likach davar heter hamunach al davar mutza. Also, if let's say you have something mutza, and there is something mutter that's left on top of it. Again, let's take a car, or let's take an oven. Salad bowl is left on top of the stove. Can I pick up the salad bowl? Of course, because picking up the salad bowl is not actually going to move the oven in any which way. And therefore, maybe on a molecular level, it's true that atoms might shift, but not in any manner that is clearly discernible to the naked eye, and therefore halacha doesn't really validate. So therefore, it would be mutter to do all of those things before Shabbos. Then just mentions here at the end, let's skip here after the Mara Makomas that he brings, v'chein mutter, and it's also similarly permissible. L'taltel davar mutza ali de nifuach. You can blow on an item and move it. This is what we spoke about last time. Why? The lo have a tiltul, that's not really movement. Ela kila achar yad, that's considered to be backhanded fashion. Lo mikre tiltul, that is not called moving. That is not considered to be moving in any which way. That would all be acceptable. Okay, let's pick up in the Mishnah Berurah, and we'll start talking about some practical scenarios, some practical examples. All right. So this is the Mishnah Berurah right here on this halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch spoke about this idea of it being shemelachta le'iser. You have an object and its intended purpose or its typical usage is le'iser, is for prohibited use. Klomar, in other words, shemiyuchedes le'davar she'aser la'asos b'shabbos. Meaning it's set aside typically for that purpose. It's set aside typically to be used for something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. A pen, the hammer that the Shulchan Aruch spoke about. Typically, it's used for construction. Typically, it's used for perfecting other kelim, which is itself a malacha on Shabbos. Theoretically, I might use it for something else that's mutter. And therefore, I sometimes have license to actually go about moving it. Vafilu imrak rov malachta. Even if only most of the time, most of its work is le'iser, who gam came to chalzet, still falls within that categorization. Even though there are things that it can be used for that's mutter, and there might be many things that it can be used for that's mutter, nevertheless, if the majority of the time this item, this object is employed for the purpose of doing some sort of work, if that's how you usually think about this item, that it's miuchedes, ledavar she'aser la'asos b'shabbos, it's the reason for which it's sold, and it's the reason for which it's manufactured, and it's the reason for which you bought it. Even though it's true, you can use it for other kinds of things, nevertheless, it is still aser on Shabbos, or it still falls into this category on Shabbos, so that it's true, there may be limited circumstances in which we can move it, but that generally speaking, we need to consider it to be aser. Bein letzarech gufo, or if it is for, we said either if it's for the you have a need for the actual place that it's in, or you have a need for the actual item and for the actual object itself. Right? In either of those circumstances, it would be mutter for me to move it. So bein letzarech gufo, I might need it for the object itself. Umayri, and what this refers to is She'ein lo kli heter l'tashmish zeh. What this means is that I don't have anything that's really mutter to use for this purpose. Meaning to say as follows. that whenever we speak about picking it up, you want to pick up the hammer because you want to use the hammer to crack open a coconut, or a coconut's a bad example. You want to pick up the hammer because you want to crack a walnut? Do you have something else that could be used? What we're talking about, when we say pick up the hammer, that's umayr she'ein lo kli heter lishtamish l'tashmishzeh, that you don't have anything that ordinarily is used for this, or is specifically used for this mutter purpose. What if I have a nutcracker sitting right in the drawer? If I have a nutcracker in the drawer, then by all means, use the nutcracker. What are you doing using the hammer? Why would you use the hammer? Use the nutcracker. When we say that it's mutter to take the object that at least some of the time is utilized for iser, that's when you don't have, like, at arm's reach, questions, by the way, of how nuts you need to make yourself over trying to access the item that's mutter. But if it's easy enough to access the item that's mutter, then get the item that's mutter. If you can't get to the item that's mutter, that's when we say it's acceptable to take the item that's aser. If it's the case that you can just as easily, let's assume, access the item that's mutter, so that's what you should be doing. You shouldn't be using the item that is at least sometimes aser. Okay, let's continue in the Mishnah Berurah. L'hanicho be'eza makom. So once you pick it up, you can move it. You can move it over to wherever it is that you want it, whatever place you want to leave it in. Dekevan shu biyado, since it's in his hand, shenatal tzarech gufa, omakoma, he picked it up for a purpose that was mutter. He picked it up for the purpose of the object itself, or he picked it up for the purpose of, I needed the place that it was in. Now, Rishai l'taltala yoser, now he can carry it even further. You don't have to, just like I said, drop it over the dining room floor now that it's off the table. I don't have to drop it on the kitchen floor now that the walnut is cracked. I can now put it down wherever it is that I want to do so. You just have to make sure that it wasn't already put down, right? Sometimes it could mean you got to be careful. Like, you crack the nut, you put down the hammer, you pick up the nut, now you got the hammer on the kitchen counter, and maybe I don't, strictly speaking, really need that place. Going to talk about that in a little bit, but that would then be problematic to actually move that hammer at that point. Ba'ayim ba'achronim. Take a look at the achronim. She'echri'u da'ay heter lo shayich elo b'chli shemalachto le'iser. That this heter, and I can't say this tonight, this is what I sort of opened with, this whole heter, this notion of picking up this item because you need the space that the item is in. You want to move this item because you want to actually use this item. To what category of mukta does this apply? Only to this lone category, kli shemalachto le'iser. When you have a kli, and it could be used for multiple purposes, could be used, usually tends to be used for something that's aser, could also be used for something that's mutter. Now you want to go about moving it or using it, that is mutter. V'lo b'mukta machmas gufo, but not something that is more inherently mukta just because of its very nature. It has there's no ability to really use this. It's not like you could reasonably employ this item for any other purpose. Could go ma'os ve'avanim. Let's say, and it's true that you could use these things for some other purpose. There are a whole number of issues here. One is that it's not actually a kli, and since it's not a kli, it can't fall into this category. It's considered to just be more raw material, which is more problematic on Shabbos oftentimes, or that it's too valuable to be used for any other purpose. Example. Well, maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit. I'll give you, this is again like a classic example of like who thinks of these things. You know, we use knives on Shabbos all the time. There are some knives that you would never dare touch for any purpose other than their intended purpose. Ritual knives, a shochet's knife and a moel's knife, are very, very expensive. You never dream of in normal circumstances of unsheathing it for any reason other than, again, its intended purpose, because it needs to be kept so clean and so pristine and so unflawed, you would never, you know, cut a watermelon with a shochet's knife. So let's say, okay, but I'm crazy. So I'm going to use the shochet's knife, and I'm desperate for watermelon. Shabbos afternoon, the sun came out, it's 85 degrees, it's August, I'm sick of social distancing. It's late May, and I'm sick of social distancing, and I want some honeydew, and all I got is the shochet's knife. So could I employ it for this purpose? No. No, you can't. Cannot employ it for this purpose, because this is no longer a kli shemalachto le'issa. This isn't something that reasonably is used for any purpose other than its sole intended purpose, which again happens to be something that's awesome. that when we speak about moving someone with your body, you can even do so for the muktzah object itself, mutter. When we spoke about last week how there's a difference, poking something with a stick, that would be if I'm trying to clear the money off the table because I want the table. What about I'm actually kicking my wallet, you know, over to the side of the room because I want to make sure that the wallet itself is actually kept intact. So when do we say that this is okay? Dezelo nikra tiltul klav, that's not considered to be movement at all. And therefore, imunach is a davar muktzal ha'aretz. If let's say you have your wallet, is not a klisha malachta le'isser. The wallet is completely set aside for the purpose of maybe the wallet itself, but the money certainly. I have a money clip, a roll of money on the floor. Hard to say that that's a klisha malachta le'isser in any which way, but I'm concerned that if I leave it out, the kids will be all over it. Who knows what's going to happen to it? So we said there that again, if I'm moving it in a fashion that is not really picking it up and using my hand, therefore mutter ledachfo b'raglav, it would be acceptable to move it over with your foot. Kadesh lo yavo lehefsitz, that it doesn't come to be ruined or it doesn't come to be lost. Final point in the Mishnah Berurah that we're going to speak about is that when he says that it's usser, when he says that, I don't even remember what this was, what specific point this was going on, but let's just see his words. That's what this was going on. This idea of not being able to move something out of the rain. Can't move the pen out of the rain just for the sake of the pen. Let's say it's not the pen. Let's say it's, for argument's sake, let's just go back to that hammer, right? So that hammer is sitting in the rain. That hammer is going to be ruined if it gets left out in the rain. The handle is going to absorb all liquid. It's going to get all rusty. It's going to be terrible. So I'm not allowed to move it. It's not like I really need it for anything. I really want it for anything. Or let's say I have something, let's talk about the pen. So I have the pen out, and I'm just afraid. Who knows? A squirrel will come. It'll get blown off the tail. It's not raining, but who knows what could happen to this? I'm concerned. I'm concerned about this pen. Now, I don't need the pen, and I don't need the space. But maybe I can, I can use that space. I can use that space. Maybe we'll have a Shabbos party out here on the deck instead of having it in the dining room. So I set the table, and I need to set the table. Now I need the space, so now let me move the pen. Or I wasn't really interested in walnuts, but I want to get the hammer out of the rain. I'll bring the hammer in further. I'll crack a couple of walnuts. That's actually mutter. Even though it's a pretext, even though it's sort of a loophole, nevertheless, that would actually be mutter. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying here. That if really, really my kavana is that I'm just trying to save this item, but I might then use it for something that's mutter, again, that would be okay. That would be acceptable to do. Okay. Let's talk about let's just drill down a little bit. So let's speak about some objects. Well, I'm going to divide this into like objects of primary isser and then objects of secondary isser, which is an interesting kind of concept the post can speak about a little bit. Objects of primary isser. So things that really typically they're used for something that's usser on Shabbos. A pen or a pencil. Tools and certainly power tools. Power tools might also be already in a different category. Power tools maybe you would say are so valuable and it would just be absurd to use them in any other manner. But the kinds of things that we have around the house that really are meant to be used for malacha and therefore shouldn't really be used and shouldn't be moved about on Shabbos. But if we are planning on employing them for a particular use on Shabbos, or we need to move them because we need their space, more on that in a little bit, then it would be mutter to do so on Shabbos. Think about a pen. An interesting question in this regard is a phone. I asked Rav Willig about this. And he felt that a phone is a klisha malachta l'isser. It falls into this category. You could argue that, listen, a phone is an expensive piece of equipment. A phone can cost just as much as, a new phone could cost just as much as the laptop that I'm using right now. And yet, we tend to kind of throw our phones about a little bit. You know, you take the phone, you stick it inside of the OtterBox, right? Whatever kind of case you have, and it becomes, not indestructible. But then we tend to throw it around. We throw, we pick it up, and it lands on the floor and whatever. And we just, we just kind of toss it about. Rav Moshe speaks about something being able to be considered a klisha malachta l'isser, even if you're just willing to use it as a paperweight. if you're willing to use it as a paperweight, which I think certainly people use their phones for, you're sitting outside and things are blowing all over the place. You know, take your phone out of your pocket and you just put it down just to weigh something down. I think we could safely say it's probably cliche malachto lizard, because again, it's the sort of thing that you throw about and the sort of thing that you might even use just like as a weight, just as a weight for being outside. Primarily what do you use it for? Obviously you use it for whatever apps, phone calls, texting, which all is us around Shabbos. But nevertheless, I think it's tossed around enough that we could say that it falls into this category. And we wouldn't say that, no, it's completely off limits because of how valuable it is. Again, what's the difference? The difference is what happens if I either do need it, you know, as a weight for something, I do need it to weigh something down, or I'm eating something outside, I want to weigh something down. I couldn't pick up a rock, but I could use my phone. Or similarly, what happens if it's on the table? I left my phone on the table. Can I move it? If it's a klisha malachta l'isser and I need that space, you can move your phone. If it's not a klisha malachta l'isser, if it's a rock, you can't move the rock. You'd have to go about, you know, knocking it off with your elbow, and then you have to determine if that's even worth it. Is it worthwhile to do so? Being that it'll probably, you know, smash your floors, and maybe if you have carpet, but otherwise I wouldn't recommend it. So we have to think through, right? What are these objects that we're even speaking about? What would be categorized under this rubric? Okay, here is, ready? Sometimes I throw out like kula of the night. Here's the chumrah of the night. Get ready. Chumrah of the night is as follows. It seems to be just about unanimous amongst the poskim, and the Mishnah Berurah himself actually makes reference to this in this same siman. I didn't actually quote it here, but I think in the very next sif. Pots and pans. Pots and pans are probably kelim shemalachtam le'isser. Why? Let's just make it most simple. A frying pan. Frying pan is maybe brought to the table sometimes and eaten out of, but for the most part, overwhelmingly, you'd say that now this is really used as a klisha malachto le'isser. For the most part, its usage is to cook in. Cooking is obviously asur on Shabbos. Same with a pot. It's true that you might bring a pot to the table and serve out of it directly. But when we think about what a pot, right, that what it's miyuchad for cooking, even if you might use it for some other purpose. Now, what difference does that make? If there's no food inside the pot, when can I move it? So it's a klisha malachta l'isser. I can move it either if I need the actual item itself, or if I need the space that the item is taking up, is occupying. Now, here's the problem with considering the space that an object is occupying. We spoke about this last week a little bit. Let's say my kitchen is just a mess, right? For all you youngsters out there, once upon a time, there were these things called guests. There were people, and you would actually bring them into your home, and you would converse with them at a distance of fewer than 6 feet, even without wearing a mask. And you would sit with them and dine with them and have a meal with them. And sometimes bringing these people, these guests into your home could lead to a certain measure of embarrassment if you feel like your home is just a colossal mess. And if your house is as crazy as mine is on Erev Shabbos, it's highly likely that even come Shabbos, your home may still be in some measure of disarray, even going into Shabbos. Certainly by the time you get to Shabbos day, because after all, we already ate on Friday night. So what's going to happen? There are pots and pans on the sink. Can you move them? There doesn't seem to be any valid reason to say so. Meaning, why would I move them? Where am I going to put them? I don't know. I'll pick them all up and I'll put them in the sink. I'll pick them all up and I'll stick them in the dishwasher. I'll pick them all up and I'll move them into the garage, into another room, just so like nobody sees them. If they're not really, really gross, and sometimes maybe they are, if they're really, really gross and they're even creating a smell, so then there'd be a whole other heter, the same heter that we have to move our garbage is absolutely mukta, but we can still take it out of the house because it becomes too foul an environment. However, if it's just because, I don't know, I got pots and pans in, it's kind of embarrassing. By the way, even if they're clean, can I just put them away? Can I put them in the drawer? Can I put them in the cabinets? Probably not. There doesn't seem to be any valid reason to do so. That is not considered a demand or requirement of the actual space in which they're residing. I don't really need the stovetop for anything. I just want the stovetop to look clean. I don't need the space. When we speak about sorech makomo, we mean that I actually want to utilize this space right now. I want to sit at the table to be able to have a meal. I want to sit at the table because I want to be able to learn or to read or to have my coffee and my brownie. Needing the space to look clean is not a real need of that space. It would be great if all these things were put away, but I can't claim to actually need the space. So this is a game changer for a lot of people. This is the chumra of the night. Pots and pans really should be considered to be kelim shemalachtam l'iser, can only be moved if they have food inside of them. Then you need the pots themselves because they're actually containing the food that you're going to need. And that's totally mutter. But if they're just either dirty or even if they're clean, you can only move them if you need the pot itself, which is highly unlikely on Shabbos, or if you need the space, which depending on where they are, if it's smack dab in the middle of the countertop, and that's the space that I need to prepare a salad or prepare whatever to plate food or whatever, that would be okay, but otherwise it would be a problem. By the way, just something to consider, an oven being mukza, the oven door is mukza, and being that the oven door is mukza, just bear in mind that even opening it up, and being able to stash things inside of it, even if the things you're stashing inside of it are mutter, that would also be problematic. That would be mutter on Shabbos. Question on the floor. What about a face mask? Face mask is absolutely mutter, not mukta in the slightest on Shabbos. Absolutely, you can and should wear a face mask whenever it's relevant. Objects of secondary use. This is an interesting one. We really already dealt with some of this already. So let's, objects of secondary use. What if the way that this item is used is that it interacts with some other item that is usher on Shabbos? So here's an example. Again, for all you kids out there, once upon a time, there were these things called phone books. So is a phone book mukta on Shabbos? It's a phone book mukta on Shabbos. Why would a phone book be mukta on Shabbos? It could be considered a klish malachta le'isser because usually or often, what do you use it for? You use it to look up a phone number. Looking up a phone number to make a call. So it's secondary. It's not the phone itself, but it's utilized in the usage of the phone, and therefore it could well be a klisha malachto le'isser. So why does that make a difference, potentially? So even though we don't have phone books anymore, when I went on APAC this past year, I stayed in a hotel that right outside of the garage, there was a bank of payphones that they were still there. Not only were they still there, but there were even phone books inside of the little shelf beneath each one of the phones. It was quaint. Anyway, so we might not have phone books anymore, but we do have community phone books that are used all the time. The Poets Directory and the one that Sons comes out with, we use those all the time. Why would we use them on Shabbos? Well, I might use it on Shabbos just to look up an address. Again, back in the days of these things called guests or camaraderie or community, these were things that you might want to do. Phone book on Shabbos should probably be considered a klisha malachta le'isser. The Poets Directory should probably be considered a klisha malachta le'isser, which means that you can use it. You can use the phone book for legufo. You can use it if you need the book itself. But you should just be mindful of the fact that if it's out, then you might not be able to move it just like because I want to get rid of it. Like it's not like any other book that I could just say, oh, let me stick this back on the shelf. Let me get this out of the way. Let me clean up before, people come over or whatever. If you need the space or if you need the book itself to look up an address, that would be acceptable. That would be mutter. But otherwise not. Another example would be, this is really relevant to Zman Hazeh, but at least theoretically, what about a car key? So a car key, now car keys are electronic anyway, but theoretically, back when I used to have a key that was just, it just went into the door, and then you would turn the ignition, and also before the lights went on, whenever you opened the car door. So again, a similar kind of example where the car key itself, it can be used to start the ignition, but also conceivably, it could be used just to open the door, then maybe therefore it's a klisha malachta le'isser, as opposed to anything worse, as opposed to any more significant category of mukta. A couple more questions on the floor. Let me just get to these. So if I have food in the oven that's on a Shabbos setting, meaning no lights and the oven is off, can I take the food out on Shabbos? Absolutely. Why? Because even though the oven door should be considered to be a klisha malachto le'isser, right, for the most part, it is used both to be able to, let's say, open to retrieve food, but it's also used to keep the heat inside of the oven. So in this instance, you're taking it out in order to be able to retrieve the food. The bigger question is, can you close the oven door afterwards? What do I need to do it? Why would I need to close the oven door now? Everything that I want is already out of the oven. Why is it mutter to close the oven door? So unless you have a massive kitchen, in all likelihood, that's just implicitly, I need the oven door closed, both maybe potentially because of sakana, but also because it's likely going to cut off the space where everybody's just going to be walking back and forth, and therefore you could also close the oven. If you have any concern about it, you can always just, you know, kick it with like the back of your foot. Here's another one. Would the same rule of mukta also apply to a cookbook? So the truth is, both a cookbook and also a phone book. Phone book might be even more problematic, not necessarily so. Cookbook may also be a question of shtar hedyotos. I think for the most part, it seems anyway. I don't want to say that, oh, everybody's doing the wrong thing. For the most part, people are knowing that they utilize a cookbook. It's an interesting question. For the most part, I use it for the purpose of cooking, and maybe most of the recipes or most of the reason why I access it would make it considered a klisha malachta le'iser. I'm going to say tentatively yes. But it's an interesting question. I didn't even think about a cookbook. Let me get back to you on that with a little more certainty. Which category would a lamp be? Yeah, so a lamp cannot be moved. A lamp is really not a klisha malachta le'iser. A lamp is really more comparable to an actual flame. And since it's really a flame, it is considered to be something that's more inherently mukta, not really a kli, and not really a kli that could be moved for gufo umakomo. Therefore, pivoting the actual, like a kosher lamp, pivoting the actual lamp is a problem, but rotating the object around it, that swivelly thing around it, that would be acceptable. You would be allowed to move that in any direction you want, but turning the lamp in a different direction really is problematic on Shabbos. Stay away from it and make sure that it's adjusted ahead of time to know that it's at least pointing more or less in the right direction. Rotating fan, I was actually going to get to. It's such a great question. So rotating fan, for the most part, there's some dispute about this. Rav Moshe Feinstein held that a rotating fan is a klisha malachta le'iser, meaning to say that if you need to move the actual item, because whether I need the fan pointed to me, because I want to be able to get that, meaning I can't actually use it in terms of the way that you ordinarily think about using it, turning it on, plugging it in, and all that, that's all usser. But once it's on, for the purpose of getting the air in a particular direction, that's actually more makel than a lamp. And also, in terms of rotating it away, that would be basically like tzorech makomo even. I need this spot. The spot that I'm sitting in now is being impinged upon by this fan. Let me pivot in the other direction in order to be able to get it out of my way. Maybe a couple other items that would otherwise have spoken about. Let's just do one more here. Is there any reason one would not be allowed to move a vase with flowers off the Shabbos table? You absolutely can move flowers that are already cut, already sitting in a vase, even if they're sitting in water. Absolutely must remove them on Shabbos, not mukta at all. It's considered to be noi bias. It's a decorative furnishing of the home. It's not a clean any which way. It doesn't fall under the category of stam eitzim, of regular wood, which would be mukta. Flowers absolutely can be moved on the table, off the table, wherever you may like. Okay, Chever, let's hold it here. Thank you everyone for joining in. Really appreciate getting the opportunity to learn with everyone. Amir Tzishem will pick up in a couple of weeks and we'll keep discussing mukta. Feel free in the interim to get in whatever questions you may have. Call, text, write, carrier pigeon, Pony Express, whatever you like. Have a good night, everybody. Be well.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you.